Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Myself, Charlie Grimes, and Greg Bloom from Barber's Foods, one of our great sponsors today. And again, that's Barber's with an S, barbersfoods.com is where you can go to order any of the products Greg's got. We'll talk more about that here in just a few minutes. Richard Battle, though, joining us now. Richard, all the way from Texas, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having us, and we're doing fantastic.
It's a joy always, Richard. I do appreciate it. As we start settling down and realize that, yes, there's a new president, and yes, we're watching different things change and executive orders and so on. And I know there's a lot of folks out there that are disgruntled, but I also know that getting down and, you know, not looking at things, I don't know, correctly isn't the right words, because I mean, I realize we're looking at things correctly, but I think putting things in perspective, maybe, Richard, is what I'm trying to say, is really what we got to make sure we're doing today.
Well, we have to adapt and improvise and become what we need to become to stay successful regardless of what's going on. And that's the thing where in the last administration, maybe we agreed with it and maybe we didn't have to adjust as much. But this time we have to find that and figure out a way to make it happen.
All right. So there's a lot of talk right now about unity. Even talked about this in the National Crawford Roundtable today that folks will hear tonight, and we talked about unity some today, and given the political climate that we've got, and I will be the first to say I don't think the current administration's helping much in this area. Even though they claim to want unity, Richard, they're not really acting and or promoting it in a positive way that I can see. Is that even possible in today's world? Is unity possible?
Well, I think it's possible. I totally disagree with how they're trying to present it. And I believe, to use a sports metaphor, they gave a head fake during the inaugural address because they spoke of unity and then immediately afterwards executed divisive issues. Mm-hmm. And Churchill said after World War II, in war, resolution; in defeat, defiance; in victory, magnanimity; and in peace, goodwill. And the victors or the winners have to reach out in magnanimity to the losers to try to create the opportunity for unity, and we're not seeing that yet.
No, and I think one of the things we talked about in the roundtable today, Richard, is the fact of just the impeachment hearings and how things are moving forward, which after yesterday and what Rand Paul did shouldn't be in the first place because they're not going to have enough votes to do anything anyways, and yet they're going to continue down that path. And to me, the best thing they could have done to even try to create unity, if that's even possible, would to have been to have squashed that and move forward.
Well, absolutely, and as long as there are persecutions or prosecutions of past quote-unquote crimes, if we listen to the majority party now, unity will not be possible. And we in the South, our ancestors told stories about Reconstruction after the Civil War. And President Lincoln, if he would have lived, I think would have exercised magnanimity and the Reconstruction period would have been better, but since he didn't, it was a much more onerous period of 11 years that created a lot of bitterness that lasted a long time in the South.
I cannot disagree. Everything you just said is spot on. All right, so there are folks out there that really feel, and I know, Richard, because I talked to him, and I'm understanding. I don't want to make it sound like I'm calloused and I don't understand. I know some folks out there think that I don't, and that really, in a lot of ways, I've even been labeled lately, Richard, a liberal, which I'm the farthest thing from a liberal there probably is. I guess I'm just trying to look at things realistically, and back to what you said a moment ago, you know, we've got to move forward no matter what. We got to figure out in business how to keep things going. It's what we do. It's like getting back up on the horse after being knocked off. That's where we're at. How do folks do that?
Well, I think that is the first metaphor, and I'll share a Texas Ranger quote from Captain Bill McDonald. He said, "No man in the wrong can stand up against a fellow that's in the right and keep succumbing." And that's what we have to do. We have to keep a coming at life and keep a coming for our family and our businesses so we can be successful. And a part of that is a preparation period of trying to figure out where everything's going and how we need to adjust ourselves to the changes that are coming. And I always talk about the seven P's. Proper prior planning prevents pitifully poor performance.
That's right.
And that's what we have to do before it's time to execute.
All right, give us an inspirational story out of the book, Navigating Life's Journey, Common Sense in Uncommon Times, which I love the title of the book because it's so true. Right now, we don't have a lot of common sense left. But give us an inspirational story, Richard.
Well, I think this one fits exactly what we're talking about, because when we're down, when we're not satisfied with where things are, we focused on what we don't have and what we can't do instead of what we have and what we can do. And Tommy Morrissey is an 8-year-old golf phenom. But what makes him inspirational is he only has one arm. And when he was young, instead of watching kids' shows, he liked to watch golf with his dad and went to the golf course and learned how to hit golf balls to the point that he impresses pros. And he's a great illustration of what's possible if you don't think about what you can't do.
He's probably a better golfer than I am with two arms.
Well, he's better,
me
better
too.
Than I am, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it shows you, Richard, that yes, those things can be overcome. If we set our mind to it and we really, you know, pour ourselves into it, you know, anything is possible. And we see these types of things. Your book is full of these stories, you know, over and over again where people overcome. Just because we're knocked down doesn't mean we can't get back up and overcome. It really is up to us.
Absolutely. And I love the quote, because people think, well, I can't do enough to make a difference. Well, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do at least one thing. And Sidney Smith said, it's the saddest of all mistakes to do nothing when you can only do a little. Do what you can.
Richard, how do folks find more about you and the book?
I'm at richardbattle.com or on Amazon. Look up Richard B. Battle for all of the writings I have. And we're happy to help anyone or communicate with anyone that'd like to speak with us.
Richard, it's always a joy having you. Really appreciate it. Get to know you better each week, and it's just a joy. I really do appreciate it, sir.
We appreciate the opportunity to be with you and your listeners, and God bless America.
God bless America. Richard, thank you very much. Dr. Anthony Harper will be with us in just one moment and give us an update on what's going on in Washington. Hang tight, though. RoofMax is coming up next. And by the way, RoofMax, great product. If you've got a roof where maybe you're thinking, hey, I need to get somebody up there and have it inspected, which I think should be done every year anyways, I'll give you an example. My roof is right at 10 years of age. I was up on it taking Christmas lights down. I had Dave Hart actually come out and look at it prior to me even being up there. And he said, listen, John, you know, roof's in really great shape. We can extend its life. If you look at the south exposure side of the roof, which is hotter, you'll notice there's some cracking in the shingles and things like that. And you know what? Sure enough, Dave is spot on. I was on the roof myself, looked at all of that. Not that I didn't believe him, but I'm like, you know, I'm just going to double check and just see how things look and so on. And he is exactly right because of, and by the way, I have shingles that are about triple thickness of what a regular standard asphalt shingle is. And even mine at 10 years, you're starting to see some wear on it. So I'll have Dave out, have him spray the roof, rejuvenate it, and get it back into great shape. And I'll try to get, you know, 15, 20, 30 years out of it by doing so. That's how it works, folks. Give Dave a call. He'll come out. He'll inspect your roof for free. 303-710-6916.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
All right, Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers, as we talked to Greg Bloom earlier, hey, he is the guy to talk to when you're looking at doing something with your mortgage. And those of you that are self-employed his asset manager product really is, for a self-employed individual, the best loan you can have. And I can say that personally because I have it, and it does work. Give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Michael Bailey removes your fear of the unknown by helping you plan ahead for unexpected scenarios. Most people have already given up their resolutions by now, but not Michael Bailey. He lives by the adage, those who prepare shall not fear. KLZ's mobile estate planner recently got a frantic phone call from a family whose mother had been given only 2 to 4 weeks to live. Their father had begun to lose some of his mental acuity, and they needed help now. They held a Zoom meeting with Michael Bailey on a Friday. He drew up their parents' estate plan on Saturday, and by Monday, their mother had been moved into hospice care. Without Michael's last-minute help, this family would have spent months, if not years, battling in probate court because their mother's assets would have gone to the wrong people. You don't know what the future holds, but you can prepare for uncertainty. Set up a free consultation with KLZ's mobile estate planner now at klzradio.com/estate.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Greg Bloom, and Charlie Grimes. Dr. Anthony Harper joining us now. Dr. Harper, you have an update on some things going on in Washington. What's up, sir?
What is up here? I just got updates from the White House regarding about press access and that, you know, I have to go through COVID-19 testing every morning before they let me onto the campus, the White House, to do any news reports. And this is a concern by not only me, but several other journalists about limited press access. And this administration is not as open to the press as Trump's administration or even Obama's administration prior to that. And all with it, I think, limited excuse about the COVID-19 mm-hmm. issue. Also a big issue is what I was reading today in an Associated Press story. It was about Biden's administration refunding of the anti-Semitic UN agency, UNRWA, which is an issue that I've been reporting from the White House for 5 years. And the principal journalists on that issue about this anti-Semitic UN agency and its impact on Israel, and Israel's feeling more nervous now with the Biden administration and concerns that Israel may have to go it alone in preemptive dealings with Iran. But very alarming, which, as I mentioned, reading this Associated Press story, acting U.S. Ambassador Richard Mills made the announcement of Biden's approach to this high-level of a virtual Security Council meeting. And he says, he talks about, the Palestinian engagement conversations with this administration and really, pushing for a, Palestinian state, which, by the way, is not going to work currently. If you think about what Jared Kushner came up with in this peace plan, there's a map. I don't know if you've seen that, John, or not, but it shows a Palestinian state right in the center of the heartland of Israel.
I did not see that. No, I did not.
And very disturbing, Biden and Harris are showing their anti-Semitism very quickly here and working out probably a deal with Iran, and there can't be any conversation, any working relationship with Iran as long as they're hating Israel.
Yeah, that's. Oh, so question for you, Dr. Harper. That I was thinking of even these last couple of days. Do you? And you're there, so you know you can say this firsthand where I can't. But my speculation is, you know, I guess the question I would have is, and maybe you could answer this for me, is, you know, what is the Biden administration trying to hide by not allowing access to certain reporters? Because to me, that's exactly what that shows. Is there something there they're hiding? Am I wrong or right?
Well, there's something they're hiding. This administration is not transparent by any means. You know, President Trump, in all of his, you know, shortcomings, and every president has their shortcomings, President Trump was a lot more open for the press there. And in the midst of this COVID-19 concern, it seems like to me that, President Biden is just using a limousine excuse here to control, and I and other journalists are concerned about the freedom of the press. We've seen social media platforms like YouTube remove people like Rudy Giuliani and anyone that would disagree with that narrative that there was some voter fraud or whatever. I'm concerned about this happening, John, and at the White House, and very disturbing about the limit of the press. And I'm wondering about how the Christian and Jewish media are going to be treated. Mm-hmm. Specifically in comparison to the other media.
Well, he's not starting off on a very good foot here. I guess, you know, time will tell, but he's not setting a very good stage at this point.
Yes, and I've got an important conversation with an Israeli leader tomorrow morning that introduced me to the prime minister regarding this UNRWA issue, anti-Semitic issue. And that was a miraculous experience for me, John. Because I was 3 years ago, about what was in 2017, just before President Trump arrives into Israel on his peace trip, traveled to Saudi Arabia, visiting Mecca, but he was in Rome, with the Pope and all that. And I was at the Knesset with one of the Likud members of his party, Sharon Haskell. And we were doing an interview about the significance of these questions at the White House about UNRWA. And I asked her, by any chance, could you introduce me to the Prime Minister today, why I'm here? And she said, oh, yes. Well, by the way, he's going to be at a meeting with journalists this afternoon. Do you want to go? And so she introduces me to the Prime Minister at the end of this journalist meeting by saying, this is Dr. Harper that gets called on at the White House to asked questions about UNRWA, and he had a smile on his face, and I was able to share our Christian concerns for Israel and our prayers for him and all of Israel.
Go ahead, Greg.
Dr. Harper, I have a question. So I think it was 2017 that President Obama went over to Jerusalem and was speaking there about, his favor for a two-state system. And, back then, I think Biden was the VP. So don't you think it's likely that President Biden will kind of return to the same kind of, tactics, same kind of message to the Middle East that Obama did?
Well, even more intense, but actually that was 2013 when Obama was there, and I happened to be there on that trip traveling as part of the White House press pool. So that was my first time in Israel, Chris and John. Very unique time, about the time of Passover. Very disturbing, though. Orthodox Jews were upset that Obama showing up in Israel to bring attention to himself near their holy day of Passover and having his picture on prominently displayed on key streets in downtown Jerusalem. Kind of one of that arrogant poses, mm-hmm. Yes, we can. It looked like a poster from Soviet Russia. That familiar pose that dictators have?
Right.
So, and I was there witnessing protests by some Orthodox Jews there, and weren't too happy about Obama being there. But, yeah, it was quite the experience. It's just a repeat of that, but it's really on steroids right now. A Biden-Harris administration, Kamala Harris, much worse than Joe Biden. It's really troublesome for Israel, them being in this state about knowing what's the best thing to do. How are we going to deal with Iran now that the Biden administration are going to warm up to them? This is really clearly a recipe for disaster.
I think it's a reminder, Dr. Harper, that under the Obama, Biden administration, we delivered pallets of cash, literally pallets of cash to them, billions of dollars, if you would. Right. And just, basically dropped it off at a tarmac and left. And that money is what feeds terrorism. And I think we'd be stupid to, say otherwise.
Right. And it's really, to me, is the issue of a qualification for leadership. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris don't really, by their actions, they don't prove that they are morally qualified for leadership. When you think, especially in fulfilling the requirements of supporting those God-given rights stated in the Declaration of Independence,
right.
The rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That should be a test, a litmus test for any congressional leader, any judge. But how many of those would really be found supportive of those God-given rights? And I wish that this was a litmus test for all leaders here in America.
Agree.
If they don't support those, then they shouldn't be qualified.
Agree. Dr. Harper, as always, you're welcome anytime. Thanks for the update. We'll run to break, and you're welcome anytime. Just let us know. We'll get you right on.
Pray for me at the White House.
We'll do it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Harper. We appreciate it very much. And by the way, those of you that are listening, you can follow Dr. Harper, Intermountain Christian News. Just Google it. You'll find him there. And they've got news updates on a daily, weekly basis. Purefoy Chevrolet, folks, is coming up next. No matter what you're looking for in a car, new or used, they can help you. If there's something that they don't even have, they'll do their best to find it as well. And trust me, you can order anything you want new if they don't have it as well. So find them at purefoychevrolet.com or 303-659-8311.
You know, when I go into Purefoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purefoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purefoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial is up next. And folks, as we talk about inflation and all those different things that are coming down the pike, and it is, we can say that inflation's not coming, but folks, it will be, and I know that. And the one thing that you want to make sure that you're doing is protecting yourself against that as much as you can. That's where Al Smith comes into play. He's a financial advisor, and he'd love to help you. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Your retirement plan doesn't need to be complicated. Al Smith doesn't use fancy software to create 20-page reports full of charts and graphs. Instead, he meets you with his 15 years of experience, a calculator, and some basic information about the money you've already saved. He wants you to walk away from that first meeting feeling confident instead of confused. At Golden Eagle Financial, Al believes your foundational retirement plan should be simple. Look at how much money you have now. Estimate how much your investments are likely to grow over the next few years, and decide how you want to pull that money out so it lasts as long as you need it to. Then, once you have your fundamental retirement plan in place, Al will talk to you about planning ahead for unforeseen events. Schedule a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial now and take the mystery out of retirement planning. KLZradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Greg Bloom from Barber's Foods with me today. as well as Patrick Hedger joining us now from the Taxpayer Protection Alliance, TPA we call it. Patrick, you guys wrote a letter here recently urging congressional leaders to oppose plans to break up the big tech companies and some other things along those lines when it comes to our taxpayers and sort of the Bill of Rights that I feel we as taxpayers have. How did that letter go?
Well, you know, it was in response to, we're seeing a bit of a divide on the right where some folks want to use the power of government to try and check big tech. And I get their impulse, but they're really playing with fire. We're concerned that trying to open up antitrust laws to make them accomplish something other than what they're designed to do has the potential to backfire on conservatives in a bad way. We just really don't want to see politicization of antitrust laws or using these very powerful mechanisms to accomplish goals other than consumer protection, because progressives can use it to ram their agenda through as well.
I agree. I mean, what we wish for sometimes, we have to be really careful in how we go about getting there. And you and I have talked about this in the past. The best way to compete or to handle, I believe, big tech is to compete with big tech, get other things started and going that actually compete with them. Competition breeds excellence and really keeps everybody on the level playing field. Although, I say that to say this, how do you fight what I now believe are publishers that are running underneath a platform's protection? And I don't believe we need to use anything antitrust in those lines. I just think we need to figure out a way, and it's not going to happen under this administration, of course, but we just need to figure out a way to actually relabel them or make them become just a platform that their designation says.
Well, yeah, you have to, again, there's, I would urge caution there, because if you want sites to be perfectly neutral, you risk them becoming essentially unusable. Because there's so much that is on the internet that is technically constitutionally protected, but there are things that you wouldn't want your family experiencing if they got onto Facebook.
Agree.
And there's all sorts of spam and foreign propaganda, pornography.
Agree.
That gets filtered out. So you're treading a very fine line, and you risk getting the government involved in determining what is and what is not protected speech to a much greater degree than they're involved right now, and I worry you run into some constitutional challenges there. I really think the best route is to continue to have open and robust competition. I think we're seeing that. Clubhouse, which is a new startup social media site, it's invite only at this point, but it just got $100 million investment, putting it at a $1 billion valuation. So the competition's out there, and it's coming.
And by the way, and again, you heard me say that, and I agree. I think the best way to really fight any of this is with competition. Although and I think this is the fear that that the conservatives had, and I'll be honest, one of the fears I have is when they get so big that they literally can start squashing the competition. Yeah, there's $100 million investment here, but let's face it, Facebook could buy that up tomorrow in a heartbeat, and it's like you and I dropping a $10 bill. So yes, there is competition hopefully coming, but boy, this has to be competition, Patrick, that is robust. And I'll just say it right now, it's not Parler. I mean, we've got to have something that actually competes better and has more foresight into what's going into that platform prior to it being launched. Otherwise, they're going to find themselves just like Parler.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I think gets lost in this conversation is I understand that the current dynamic isn't perfect and that there are concerns. It's just about, and the market doesn't necessarily produce perfect outcomes. It's just about acknowledging that that doesn't necessarily mean the government is going to be able to produce perfect outcomes.
No, they'll produce worse outcomes. We already know that answer.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to make sure we're just, before we have a knee-jerk reaction to what it may or may not be bad behavior by the platforms in taking down too much speech, before we call and run to the government for help, just be careful again. I keep saying it over and over again. Just be very careful what you wish for, because I tell conservatives this, you don't want Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren deciding what is and what is appropriate.
No. And by the way, I agree with everything you're saying wholeheartedly, and I've had this conversation even on my end here with, general listeners and callers that we've had over the years, Patrick, even before some of what we're talking about now came up. I mean, I've had this conversation 2-3 years ago. I could go back on podcasts and find those. We're basically saying the same thing you are, that the best way to combat this is through competition. Although you've got, I guess a question for you. Let me phrase it this way. Given the opposition now coming from you know, the hardcore conservative right in this area. How do, and I know you and I are trying to tackle this right now in the conversation we're having, but we're just two individuals. How do you combat this on a larger scale?
Yeah, that's a great question. Combat it in the sense of creating more competition, or you know, just the perception that there is too much censorship going on.
Well, and I think maybe both. I mean, I think to let the platforms know that they're doing too much of that. On the same token, letting conservatives know that having too much government involvement in anything isn't a good thing either. We've seen that across the board in multiple industries. When they get their hands in it, it really screws things up. I mean, we've got the Biden administration today talking about putting something in play where every airline domestically would require a COVID test before you fly. Patrick, we do things like that, and we're sticking a fork into the airline industry worse than it already is right now. So no, we do not need any more government involvement in these things we already have.
Yeah, so the answer I give is, again, it's not a, there's no real good silver bullet solution here, but some of the things, I tend to find that conservatives are always looking for something to be for, because we're saying no to a lot of things, and rightfully so. I mean, I think that requirement would, as you said, that's tremendous overreach. I think conservatives can be for lowering barriers to entry and lowering barriers to investment exit. The government makes it very difficult to invest in businesses in this country through all sorts of regulations, stock market, mm-hmm. Investor disclosures, right. Things like that. You know, I think there's something we can be for there by freeing up capital to invest in alternatives, because clearly there's a market demand for it.
No, I think there is too, and I'm not trying to pick on Parler by any means, but you know, when all of that happened, Patrick, I was probably one of the first talk shows to actually talk about how badly they screwed up. Most conservatives weren't looking at it that way, but I was. I mean, there was very poor planning on the part of Parler in the way they coded, in the way they got things fired off. And frankly, Patrick, I think that was something where they felt like they'd have a few users, not millions of users, and they built a platform accordingly. And then when it got too big, they had no ability to control things. And now you see where they are. And that's what I mean by, we've got to make sure we have the right mousetrap, if you would, before we launch it.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of consumer vigilance here, because otherwise, if people aren't being vigilant, that's what does invite that government regulation, which always backfires. So I couldn't agree with you more there, and I would just encourage people to have patience, right? The good things come to those who wait, mm-hmm. And being impatient and inviting the government means we will never get that better alternative. I mean, surgery was not perfected overnight. This is an evolving process, and we're still talking about a pretty young industry. The dominant platforms that we're all annoyed with today are barely old enough to vote, let alone buy a beer.
Well, and you and I both know this, Patrick, so does Greg. Competition will come along. It always does. I mean, MySpace was a big deal at one time until Facebook came along. Something else will come along, and I think even Zuckerberg himself knows what we're talking about and why he's divested himself of Facebook and even gotten into some other things, because he realizes that all good things will come to an end. His platform is not going to last forever. Something else will come along over time and take its place. We know that.
Yeah, and something interesting we heard today, a lot of companies were doing their investor calls and disclosures for the fourth quarter, and something that happened on the Facebook call is they said that they're working very hard to get all politics in general off of the platform. And so that may work out in their favor, or it could cause people to leave in droves. I mean, we don't know how these things are going to play out until we give them time to do so. So, again, they could be creating a huge demand at this point for a new platform that will allow for political speech of all kinds.
Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Patrick, I have a question about social media, because over the years it has become increasingly they're using algorithms, right, to see what, when you post something, it's not chronological anymore. So it seems like you're just kind of advertising or speaking into an echo chamber now and preaching to the choir. And do you think it's even effective anymore because of the way they use the algorithms?
Yeah, and that's something that
great
I
question.
Think that, yeah, that's a, and that raises a really good point about the issues of Parler as well, right? One of the appeals of having a platform where there are both conservatives and liberals is that you get those interactions. You get the conversation that's heated, that drives lots of engagement. Mm-hmm. And it's not very appealing. This is one of the reasons why Parler
had trouble succeeding was it's not a lot of fun to just get on there and have everybody agree with you. So I think there is a natural tendency for people to want to balkanize like that and just hear, you know, positive reinforcement from people that agree with them. But a great quote I heard, and I can't take credit for this, but, you know, owning the libs isn't fun if the libs aren't around. So I think there'll be a bit of a pendulum shift.
Agree.
People looking for more of that interaction.
I agree. Patrick, good stuff. Where do folks find out more about what you guys have going on?
Yeah, sure. It's protectingtaxpayers.org.
Perfect. Patrick, as always, thank you. You're welcome anytime.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Very good. And by the way, I appreciate Patrick, and I think he's right on a lot of levels. A lot of folks may disagree with what he's saying, but, you know, Greg, is one of the reasons why, and you know this about me, you know, I subscribe to, you know, some of the liberal publications that are out there. I get emails from the liberal publications. I go there. I look at the websites. You know, I read some of the, you know, comments that are out there and so on. I mean, I don't bathe myself in it, but I do know what's going on. I do know what's being said. And I think that's healthy. I mean, you cannot just be one-sided all of the time without having some of the other side coming into play. It just doesn't. It's not healthy. You can't do that in your life. It doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. If you create your own echo chamber, you know, that's not iron sharpening iron at all. You're just, you know.
Agree.
You know.
Agree. Yep. Steve in Westminster, you're next, sir. What's going on? Hello, Steve. Are you there,
yeah,
Steve?
Hello, guys.
There we go. How are you doing, Steve?
Yeah, I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thanks.
Yeah, the problem that you were talking with Patrick about is we're too far down the road. We're already into government control of the means of production when it comes to this high-tech, big-tech thing. They're in bed with each other, and we're already in the definition of socialism when the government controls the means of production. And we're too far down there. They're not going to regulate themselves. And when you talk about opening up competition, they're not going to do that, because with the Biden administration, there's only more regulation coming, and we can see it coming. So I don't know, you know, I'm with you on competition, but I don't see it happening in this administration. I see the big tech companies getting bigger. They're in bed with the government. They are quasi-governments. They are so big.
Well, or, and, Steve, and let me throw this at you. Will we see more competition because of what you just said? In other words, if a platform comes out that actually does compete, that does allow the sorts of things that we're talking about, and does, in a lot of ways, compete with Facebook, would not now be a better time to do that than when a Trump administration is there, let's say?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be great. But I'm a realist. Let's be real about it. The present administration is not going to let that happen. They're going to choke it out, just like just like everybody's being choked out of Twitter and everything else. And I know Parlay had a lot of problems, but they still got choked out. They're not going to.
Well, I don't think they're a good example, Steve. They really choked themselves.
I'm just saying they're not the government right now, and big tech. They are in bed with each other. We have a quasi-socialist. They're controlling the means of production, and so they're not going to let competition happen.
Well, but Steve, let me throw this at you, and I know enough about tech to know this. If the right company comes along, $100 million investment, they put up their own server farms, they do some things along their own, you know, ends where you're not having the possibility of what you're talking about with the government side of the fence happening. You know, they really, with $100 million, they could do a lot of what we're talking about, do it very well, and really, really become a competition to Facebook.
Yeah, sure, but look what the government's trying to do right now. They want to shut down Fox News. They want to shut down some TV stations, you know, broadcast companies. I mean, that's where they're headed.
Yeah, but the difference, though, real quick, though, Steve, the difference is, great conversation, by the way, and I don't want to squash this. I want to use this educationally to everybody listening. The difference is they don't control cable. They do control the airwaves. So the FCC controls the airwaves. They don't control cable. They also don't control the internet. So for a company to come along and compete with Facebook on the internet only, they have a real possibility of doing. The network side of the fence, you're correct. Totally different conversation, though, than somebody competing with Facebook.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I just see the way things are going. More regulation.
Not arguing. I think you're correct. The one saving grace we may have is the fact that, you know, the internet is there. I don't see that going away. They will do everything they possibly can to try to squash that as well. But let's face it, the dark web even runs today. So they can't. That has become something, Steve, they physically can't squash.
I hope you're right. I'm not as optimistic. I'm very pessimistic right now. With the stroke of the pen, they can, discontinue the pipeline for oil. I mean, just like that. I mean, there's no legislation. It's just the stroke of a pen, man.
Well, but keep in mind, the only reason why that's a stroke of the pen, and this goes back to, guys, and I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just being realistic. That goes back to the stroke of the pen instituted it. Unfortunately, the stroke of the pen can actually deny it at the same time. My point is, we legislatively, when we controlled the Senate and the House those first 2 years, we should have legislated the Keystone Pipeline. Then a stroke of the pen wouldn't have denied it. We screwed up.
Oh, absolutely, we screwed up. I've been a Republican all my life, and I'm done with those guys. I'm absolutely done with them. They've controlled it many times, even in the Bush administration.
Yep.
When they control things.
Yeah, the way to end that, Steve, is what even Trump's saying today. We primary those guys out as we get into 2022 and 2024, and we take things back over. It's the only way it's going to happen. We cannot give up. We cannot leave the party. We have to primary out those individuals that you're talking about.
Well, I'm not giving up, but I'll tell you what. If you don't have free and fair elections, it's a losing cause.
Not going to deny that. Steve, take care. I appreciate the call very much. Dan and Blackhawk, hang tight. We'll come right back and take your call. Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. If you're 62 years of age or older, talk to Bruce today, 303-467-7821 or klzradio.com.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home, providing a source of guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in the house. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
Hey, collisions are not fun. I know they happen. Accidents happen. If one does and you want to get your vehicle fixed, we've got the place to go. It's a good shop. Three locations to serve you in North Denver, 720-541-7697, or find them at klzradio.com.
After a collision, you want to take your vehicle to a certified shop that specializes in auto body work. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop hear from a lot of people who think you need to go back to the dealership for auto body work. But just like John Rush has been telling you, many dealerships don't even do auto body work. Dealerships focus on sales. So in some cases, they don't even have the certifications and equipment required for quality collision repair. Al used to work for the dealerships before founding A Good Shop in North Glen in Commerce City. So he knows from experience that many dealerships farm your vehicle out to some other shop where you have no control over the process. You're just a number to them. That's why Al and his team at A Good Shop are proud to run an independent, certified collision repair center where they specialize in auto body work. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And it is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Myself, Greg Bloom, Barber's Foods with me today. Dan in Blackhawk, you're next.
How you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, left you an email to contact me about the ballot initiative, but I got more than just ballot initiatives that we need to talk about. Steve is a good example of I mean, we're frustrated and everything else, but leaving the Republican Party isn't going to do anything for us. What we got to do is clean house,
right,
so to speak. And then talking about, you guys keep referring to them as progressives. You need to refer to them as regressives. So
true.
You know,
true.
They're regressive on their line of thinking. We have an opportunity that we need. We're complaining about everything that Biden is doing, but yet what he is doing is affecting people and their jobs and their livelihoods. And we need to jump on that, take advantage of it, and use it for 2022. But
agree.
We got to do 2021. We got to. I mean, if we can get it going, and if we can market it correctly, we could probably get some of these to pass if we can do them constitutionally.
Agree.
It's a matter of it's a biblical concept. A house divided against itself will not stand.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the conservatives, Republicans, I don't know if you can call Republicans, some of them, because they're not, but we need to band together and come up with a strategy and a plan in order to communicate to the people that aren't the far left but are more towards the middle to make them realize, hey, what's going on is not good for the country. So
agree.
Yeah. So anyways, that's what I got to say. So
and by the way, Dan, make sure because if I missed your email, I apologize, but you know, spam and filters and so on, make sure you send that to me again, and okay. That way, and if I don't respond, you know ping me again to make sure that I do, because if I'm not responding, it's because I'm not getting it.
Okay, and I don't know your email, so I did the contact us on your webpage.
I should have gotten that. Yeah. You can send direct, though. Just go john@rushtoreason.com.
Okay, I'll do that, and I'll send it out. But
that's easy.
Is it Joe? Joe always calls.
Yes.
He always has great information.
He does.
So we need to get people that are like him, you know, that have ideas, and then somebody to help us. And I'm not saying I'm that person, but I might be that person that can kind of bring things together. That's kind of a natural ability that I have. And then we were talking about, you know, liberals and how not being an echo chamber. Well, I'm auditor by job, but I've got that mentality to where I'm like, look, we need to test the things. And, you know, if the liberals, I'm not saying they're right all the time, but if they have something that maybe is doable or workable, then let's have a discussion about it. We don't have to try to shut them down. I mean, they're not all, I'm not saying I agree with them, but I imagine they have a lot of ideas that probably aren't bad ideas. And if we get together, instead of having this divide, if we get together, we could probably make things better for everybody. But right now, it just seems like, well, you're a liberal, so we're not going to even consider it. And that's being closed-minded just as much as they're being closed-minded.
Agree.
And we got to be able to be open-minded enough in order to listen to what they're saying, and that sometimes they may have a good idea, but, hey, did you think about this? And if we altered this, maybe this would be better, you know, and maybe they would agree with us.
Agree.
You know?
You're right.
So, anyways, that's all I got to say.
No, good stuff, Dan. I appreciate it. And email me that. I do appreciate it. Greg and I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Franktown Firearms is next. Find him at klzradio.com. And I got an update on the fact they've got ammo in stock right now. So if you need some ammo, go buy Franktown Firearms. Again, find them at klzradio.com.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms, and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store, and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with a full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, it's almost 5 o'clock. I look outside. The sun is still above the Rocky Mountains. That's the first time I've actually seen that because it was snowy the last couple days, which means our daylight hours are getting longer, which I am very, very thankful for. So, hey, that's a good thing today. I can celebrate that.
Yeah, the days are getting notably longer, and that's great. That means summer's coming.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Which means barbecue season's coming.
That's right. That's right. Outdoors. Cooking outdoors.
All right. We come back this next hour. Greg's going to talk about some things they've got going on at Barber's Foods as well. Don't forget that Easter is just around the corner as well. It doesn't seem like it's that far, or it seems like it's a long ways away, but really, it's not that far away.
No, it's Sunday, April 4th, and so, you know, it'll be here before we know it. I've already had to order all my hams, so.
You're on top of it.
Yep.
All right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Again, Greg Bloom, Barber's Foods, with me today. We'll get into a few things. You can even ask some questions with Greg this next hour, so hang tight. We'll be right back. Hour number 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.